This is the Wednesday, June 23rd edition of the Daily Wager podcast. After a barn burner in the Valley last night, a.k.a. the Valley Oop, we've got even more action today. We have the Eastern Conference Finals beginning. We also have some golf get going tomorrow and a little baseball as well. So sit back, in and out in less than 10 minutes.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Welcome to the Daily Wager podcast, presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. I'm Doug Kazarian, alongside Tyler Foljam this morning, and an epic finish in the West. The Phoenix Suns have won 9 straight, although they did not cover this one. So 8-1 ATS. Tyler, how about that finish?
Unreal. To be up 2-0 and to do it in such a fashion without Chris Paul, obviously a lot is being made, Doug, of the amount of time it took to play those final 9 seconds and the reviews and everything like that. But what an entertaining game and what a great moment for Monty Williams and the Suns and that fan base there. Just absolutely insane finish. And it would have been a great stolen victory for the Clippers because it felt like the Suns had that game the entire time. Then they're up late or they're down late. Paul George misses those free throws and they somehow convert on that value. But I like the Suns. Now they're my 4th team, I think, I've landed on to win the championship. So I haven't really done well in terms of handicapping there, but off to a good start in this series.
Good stuff there. So I was high on the Clippers plus the points last night. We got there. Joe had the under, so that was a really nice job on that front. Tonight, I wish I had a firm opinion. It's really tough because game one, you know, I think it's too many points, but the Bogey injury is a component to this, right? He averaged 30 points in the 2 meetings he played against Milwaukee this regular season. And he's their starting shooting guard, right? And I think it's a really bad matchup for Atlanta. I really like Milwaukee, just everything about it, but I can't lay that kind of lumber. It's nearly -500. So I can't fault anyone for grabbing Atlanta, but I'm going to grab the 7.5 and just a regular, nice and easy play tonight. But certainly keeping an eye on the Bogdanović situation.
Yeah, I agree with that. And don't forget, remember, Bogdanović was supposed to sign with the Milwaukee Bucks this offseason when he left Sacramento, and then that deal fell through. So maybe that's why he kept going nuclear against the Bucks in the regular season, although I think one or two of those games was without Trae Young, so more usage went his way. I'm with you. I think it's now 8 I'm seeing at Caesars William Hill, so shop around. But 8 points just seems like way too much for an Atlanta team that, again, over the last two and a half months of watching NBA basketball, they've been one of the 4 best teams in the NBA. And they went on the road against the Knicks in one game one. They went on the road against the Sixers in one game one. And I think they can go on the road against the Bucks and win game one because the Hawks look far more impressive to me in their victory over the Philadelphia 76ers than the Bucks did against the Brooklyn Nets, who were without Kyrie Irving for the bulk of that series and had only a hobbled James Harden for half of that series. So I like the amount of points I'm getting in my pocket, the head start I'm getting with the Hawks. I will gladly take that and run with it.
And my mistake, it's gone up to 8. So it's 8 in the consensus in the market. Yeah, really weird sort of regular season. One game, Giannis had just come back from injury, only played a few minutes. Another game, the Hawks won by comeback at a huge 4th. Trae Young didn't even play in that game. So really not much to go on from the regular season. Any props that stand out to you?
Not any that are flashing must plays. My leans right now are Giannis under his point prop, 33.5. My lean for Trae Young is to go over 28.5. And then something that you turned me on to with whoever is guarding Trae Young, which was Ben Simmons in the last series, under the rebound prop because Young's range pulls guys so far away from the rim. So Drew Holiday, another good rebounder for a guard. I'm looking at his rebound prop is 5.5. The under is juiced to -135. The over, I believe, is even money. So the market's expecting the under. I'll play that even though I don't love the juice. I believe in the 3 matchups Holiday played against the Hawks this season, he had never went over 5.5 rebounds. I think it was 5, 5, and 4 in the 3 games that he played. So it's a small number for a guy who can get double-digit rebounds. But again, Trae Young kind of changes the calculus of where you're going to be on the floor when that shot comes off the rim. So I think I'll throw a little bit on Drew Holiday under 5.5 rebounds, just like you turned me on to with Ben Simmons against Trae Young in the last series.
Well, yeah, as one of our listeners got us involved in some of these with Drew Holiday over rebounds and some others. Mm-hmm. So it's good to aggregate, as I like to say. You know, we've talked a lot about the bad teams in baseball this year. And it's, you know, the triumvirate of Arizona, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore. Best bet yesterday, I had a few options, and all of them actually hit because I did well in the WNBA right here on the pod. But I like I'm just going to keep fading this Orioles team. They're pretty bad. Obviously, it was great to get such a strong outing from Greinke yesterday in a 3-1 game. But I'll take Houston in the run line as well. Look, this Orioles team just is bad. I don't know what else to say. But not a ton of handicapping there. But this Astros team is also starting to mash a little bit, even though just 3 runs yesterday.
Yeah, in baseball, one I like is the Oakland A's first 5 run line. So they have to win first 5 by at least a run, -115 against the Texas Rangers. Big reason is Mike Foltynewicz, the righty for Texas, has the second worst first 5 record in Major League Baseball. He's 2-9-3, a guy whose ERA, no matter when he's out there, is north of 5. He gets hit hard, and there's enough bats in the Oakland lineup that can take advantage of that. James Caprellian is the starter for Oakland, 4-1 this season, an ERA just north of 2.8, a 1.11 whip. So massive advantage for Oakland in the pitching department. They're just a better team leading atop the AL West. And Texas is a team that is struggling. So first 5 run line, Oakland A's against the Texas Rangers.
For our listeners, parting shot here.
Yeah, Travelers Championship. It's going to be at a much different course than we saw at Torrey Pines. Pete Dye, a layout that is short, 6,800 yards, I believe. So it's a different kind of golf you're going to be looking for. Ches Reavy won this event back in 2019. He had been in poor form lately, but kind of broke out of that, qualified for the U.S. Open, went T15 at the Palmetto Championship the week before the Open, finished T40, made the cut at the U.S. Open. So coming to TPC River Highlands, where we'll play the Travelers Championship, and again, an event that he won back in 2019, I will play Ches Reavy to finish inside the top 30 at +275. He has, despite missing the cut recently and not playing well in terms of he has made the cut his last 2 events, U.S. Open and Palmetto, like I said, but he gained, most importantly, 10 strokes on approach those events. That's his strength. He's a really good iron player from the fairway, especially short iron shots, and that's what you'll have for a lot of your second shots here. So apologies there. He's made his last 2 cuts, Palmetto and U.S. Open, and gained 10 strokes on approach. And that's kind of the skill you're going to want at a short course like this. Pete Dye design is target golf. Reavy's won it back in 2019. So top 30 for Reavy at +275.
It's funny. You know, I never made it out to the Travelers in Bristol, but you're right. That's the wrap. I don't have a golf play. I'm going to be aggregating a little bit for some people I talk to. We'll have them on Daily Wager tonight. No WNBA play for me, but although if I had to, I would take the Lynx -3 in the lone game on the slate tonight. Hope you had a good golf outing yesterday and your day off, but we'll see you back later in the studio, 6 Eastern today, 2 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. So tomorrow, the Thursday show is our only irregular start time in this week, and even next week too, or normal time next week. So that's going to do it for us, like we promise, in and out in less than 10 minutes. Please do us a favor, though. Don't forget to rate, review, and follow. If you're enjoying the show, obviously it helps us out with all the analytics and good things along those lines. But we'll catch you back here on the Daily Wager podcast tomorrow.